Calling all lovers of mystery. Prepare to don your detective hat in June's Journey, a free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective who is on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. Take a trip in time to the glitzy 20s to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. If, like me, you get sad when a story comes to a close, never fear. With June's Journey, the thrill is endless, since new chapters are added weekly. And not only can you enjoy the detective adventure, but you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island, where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Sebastian Crenshaw, known alias the Great Basbino, half-orc, age 26, height 6'9", weight 295 whopping units, eye color green, able to channel divine energies to perform various tasks, including but not limited to healing, sensing creatures and their loyalties, damage output increase, auras of protection, etc., etc. No, yes, he's got that arm cannon now too. Formerly loyal to the King of Castellion of Old World, now loyal to the Iron Legion and the crew of the Broomhilda. Powerful. Tunnel vision, that one. A useful subject, no doubt, despite all the unwanted attention he attracts. Speaking of, his collegiate has summoned him to testify against crimes accused by the elves. He's decided to show. My best course of action is to ride this out. At this point, my intervention would only complicate matters. Besides, got some problems of my own right now. Got a bad feeling. Having trouble keeping track of time. Forgetting some of my T crossing and I dotting. Can't get nightmares if you don't sleep, right? Well, that's what I thought, too. And it seemed true for a while, but guess I'll call them visions. Same things I used to dream about, mostly. I've never really tried explaining any of it before, hard to explain, and most of them I'm alone. Things get inky, sort of fuzzy, and through the haze I hear something moving. Awful, absolutely wretched noise, something moving through the fog, looks like. What was that? Computer, run a diagnostic analysis of the information.
Hey everybody, welcome to Super Quest Saga, the show where we here at the Dungeon Cast sit around the table and play some Dungeons & Dragons. My name is Will Stark, and I will be the capable Dungeon Master of this evening. Joining me, as always, is...
Josh Rillian, playing Sebastian Crenshaw, Half-Orc Paladin.
I'm your special guest, Jake, playing Persephone Gold Pedal, the Furbolg Druid.
And I'm Brian, and today I'm going to be playing... we're level 6? I thought we were going to be level 8 now.
Level 8 now.
No, we're level 8. Warlock Carter Huttenberg. Sorry for the audio on this one. We had an equipment hiccup.
We had to relocate.
We're on location. We're doing our best.
So a lot's happened since the last time we recorded. A lot happened the last time we recorded.
Both those things are true.
Both those things are true. So just a quick recap over the many things that kind of occurred last episode. You guys were on the planet of Namelith. You found the Laboratory of Dr. Zahn. You went through it. You found artifacts. You found old recordings. You found some clues to where Zahn might have gone next and what he might have been doing. There was crazy rituals. You guys went into the Black Ziggurat, which seemed to have been built by the orcs and built to some sort of great old one monstrosity.
Fuck.
you guys were accompanied by Gil the Hunter, who ended up being the guildmaster and leader of the freelancers, the greatest bounty hunters in the galaxy.
Huge bummer.
Yeah, huge bummer. You guys left you a calling card. One thing I forgot to mention about the calling card is it's this metal business card with the seven masks on it. In each mask, the eyes within the masks are glowing. Like they have like little lights in them.
Oh.
Fancy.
That we must extinguish.
Yes.
Let me see here. There was, again, I mentioned the sacrifice room. You guys fought a bunch of monsters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you managed to get through all of that bullshit. You get back to the ship in very low spirits. And then Watt revealed a message from Captain Davorax from the Iron Legion saying that Sebastian Crenshaw is due for a trial.
Some bitch.
I'm out of fingers, Will. That's a lot of things.
A lot of things happen. Yes. So we talked about it outside of the game, how you guys were going to approach Sebastian heading to the Planet Sovereign for his trial. You guys agreed that he was going to head there alone, and you guys were going to hang back in towards like the back of the star system, somewhere off the radar, to hopefully be able to swoop in if things go wrong. So do I have that right? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's pretty right.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool beans. So, Sovereign is a terrestrial planet that lies in a star system that is part of the UFSS. It's the Union of Free Star Systems. This is a conglomerate of 24 small galactic nations that have free trade agreements and intertwining defense treaties. The Sovereign system is under complete control of the Iron Legion. It is governed from the megapolis of Domain Bastion, a gargantuan city of well-organized monolithic buildings, and at its center lies the seat of power, Central Command. Somewhere between a futuristic palace and a heavily fortified fortress, Central Command is. It's also, like, to think about it in real-life terms, it's something between, like, the Vatican and the Pentagon.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Put together.
The Vatican.
The Vatican. Welcome Vatican. To the Vatican.
It's got five sides, and it's made of gold.
That's amazing. So here at Central Command dwells the commander-in-chief of the entire Iron Legion military and clergy, the Master Commandant Kalon Rigos. As I said before, the party decided to let Sebastian sit out for Sovereign on his own in the Halberd. The Brunhilde will hang in orbit around a gas giant about 700 million miles back from the terrestrial planet of Sovereign. Sebastian, you should be able to make it there in about an hour from the Brunhilde to Sovereign.
Cool.
So the last thing I want to mention before we kind of dive in here is that Primina, during this time as you guys are discussing this, is really staunchly against Sebastian, just letting Sebastian go by himself. She insists on trying to go with you. And she basically saying, like, you are being falsely accused of the same crimes as she is. Like, why should you be on trial and not her? So what do you guys say?
I pretty much want to tell her straight up, like, we need to protect her. She's special. Mm-hmm. She's what we're trying to, I mean, this whole thing's about is her trying to help her.
You're the MacGuffin, goddammit. You need to stay right here.
Sebastian views her as the most powerful being in the universe.
Oh, that's interesting.
So he feels like she should rule in his opinion.
Oh, shit.
So okay. he's all about, that? He's all, not exactly.
Maybe.
No.
Yeah, maybe.
No, no, not in that way. But
they're not in that place in their relationship.
No, he feels, he's pretty much sworn an oath pretty much to her as well.
Oh, okay.
He feels like he
this
has
is news to me as a disaster.
Yeah, he has like to protect this. Her because he's all about the strongest should rule. In his opinion, she's the strongest.
Okay.
She
doesn't know how to control
time travel.
It. Yeah, she doesn't know how to control it yet.
That by default
so
makes
deep
the strongest.
Deep down.
It does, though.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's where he's coming from. So he's very like,
cool,
no, you're not going. You need to stay safe.
Okay.
We'll handle it. Don't worry.
All right. She's not happy, but she nods. Okay.
Carter in that situation is like viewed himself as the last line of defense. He knew not that he need not say anything in order for what he wanted to happen.
Okay.
And it happened on our first line of defense. Because I was gonna let him, Percy, and Vicky go for
first.
It.
Yeah.
And then I would have forced her to stay.
Okay. All right. Well, she nods.
There we go.
She doesn't seem happy, but she's like fine. So, yeah, Sebastian, you leave on the Halberd, and the rest of you don't really know what to expect. Do you guys come up with some sort of, like, plan? Like, what's the signal?
Well, I was thinking maybe Watt could put, like, a hidden something in my arm, my mechanical arm, where I can access it to send out a signal to them, like, oh, shit, shit's gone
this
down.
This is the oh shit button.
Yeah.
Come get me, please.
My trouble signal. Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, like
oh,
a
shit.
Panic button.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Okay.
I don't know, something along those lines.
Yeah, or since your arm is mechanical, yeah, he can, like,
hide it in there so it's not obvious, because I don't know if they're going to search me and be like, no, yeah, you can't, yeah, yeah, you can't have this, this, or this. So kind of be sneaky about it where I hide it.
I know we had the conversation off mic, but I know we tried to do our best to, like, make the best of him going by himself, which was to have some kind of contingency set up where he could, like, speed dial us real quick. So I think, yeah, like a homing beacon would probably be.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. Not only would it be an alarm, but it'll be like a GPS, if
GPS
you will.
GPS tracking. Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Okay, yeah. Totally doable. That's within Watt's capabilities, okay. No problem. So you have that, and perfect. You can hit the button or whatever, however you want
to
flavor
it. Okay.
So Sebastian takes off in the halberd. He should be there in an hour. What do you guys do in your meantime, like, while you're twiddling your thumbs waiting for Sebastian to either give the signal or not?
I start taking photos of all the gas I siphoned out of the halberd to sell it on Space Craigslist.
Okay.
I wish Sebastian well.
Wait. Why is this thing slowing down? What's going on here?
No, but what do you guys do?
I don't know. What do we do? I blow the dust off the old hacky sack, I guess. Well, like, I want to do something, but we discussed that I shouldn't do it yet. Or
did we
discuss that I should not, like, I don't have the capacity to do it yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what does Carter just do when he's got nothing else to do?
Oh, he learns spells, usually.
Okay, so you do some arcane readings?
Like I sleep and I read the Book of Shadows or whatever. Okay.
But, I mean, you don't sleep, but...
Whatever my research, like, determines that I need to do right now. So I can't, like, research the oh my God, Elephants? Davy Jones's.
Okay. You want to research the
everything we saw in the jungle.
The scroll stuff,
the
right?
Scroll
okay,
stuff.
We could say you're reading over that and not getting into the details quite yet.
Yeah.
So you're reading over it. Have you learned the comprehend languages thing yet?
If I leveled up, I did.
Okay, we'll just say you level up at the end. So
yeah, I haven't yet.
Okay,
so
you're trying to decipher it. We'll go with that.
I'm trying to learn. Yeah, I'm trying to learn what I need to do to make this shit happen.
Okay.
So that'll be the spell I take later. And I'm just in the deep web. I'm in the dark net.
Okay.
Just
yeah. Like, so you're deep at the research. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got puffy eyes.
Percy, what are you doing?
Probably a lot of pacing. Probably trying to keep busy. I think maybe me and Prim. Like, I'll ask if Prim wants to go and spar. And...
She, after she found out she couldn't, you guys basically, everyone teamed up and said, no, she can't go.
Yeah.
She's mad at everyone. She's in her room and she's just like, I'm not in the mood.
I ain't do that shit.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You wrote me into this car. No.
That's fine. Maybe, could I go and tend to my,
your potions?
My potions.
Your
yeah.
Potion
my
plants.
Gardens. Yeah.
Yeah. Your herbs.
Cause I got on.
His CBD farm.
Your CBD farm.
My hydroponics.
yeah, absolutely. You totally.
Because I got some mushrooms, right?
Yes,
or something
sure.
Like
oh,
that.
Yeah, yeah,
I'll
did.
Start, like,
totally.
I'll put that into the to the mix and, you know.
Awesome.
Yes, I got some
I
magic
it.
Shrooms, my
I love
guy.
It.
You
I
do
love
so
it.
Many drugs in this campaign.
Okay. So, Percy, you're tending to your garden.
Yeah.
Sebastian, you're sailing through space. And Carter, you are in the middle of your research. And it's in the middle of your research, maybe about 40 minutes or so after Sebastian has left, that you feel like a, you know that feeling you get when you're going down a roller coaster?
The scar on my head starts burning?
No, not that. No.
He hears her.
No, you get that feeling in your stomach as if you're going like down a drop on a roller coaster.
Oh, yeah, dope.
And the world around you blurs for a second, and you suddenly find yourself sitting in a very familiar booth at a very familiar diner.
What? Mm.
The one that you repeatedly visited in Starworm City. It's dark outside.
Fuck.
It's dark outside, and the entire restaurant is void of other customers, save for a lone humanoid figure sitting across the table facing you. This figure is a pale, thin, clean-shaven man dressed in a black suit. He's wearing a broad-brimmed black hat. His age is indiscernible, but his hair appears to be white. He's wearing a tight, thin-lipped smile, and his eyes appear to be hollow black voids. Sitting in between you guys on the table is a board with small ivory pieces, but sitting on the table between you guys, and you recognize this as a war game, very similar to Our World's Chess, except for it's done with a lot more pieces and has a lot more intricate types of moves. And the figure across the table says, "Hello, Carter."
Hi.
Have you been enjoying yourself, Carter? Did your little gladiatorial sabbatical recharge your batteries?
I feel better than I ever have. I've come a long way in cracking little case we got going on here.
It does seem like you've gotten back to work. And then he moves a piece on the board, and he gestures to the board as if it's your turn.
All right. And I'll sit down, and I'll make what I deem to be my best
move.
Opening move. Okay. Yeah.
And just to give you, I haven't really planned out this board game, but essentially, this is a game that uses about 40 pieces of various shapes and sizes, with different like piece types like pawns, warriors, spies, generals, diplomats, traders. And the idea here is that you're trying to protect your noble pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And your noble pieces are powerful pieces, but they're also vulnerable. And if you lose all your nobles, you lose.
Okay.
That's the general idea of the game.
I think Carter's going for like a bait strategy. Mm-hmm. Where he looks aggressive maybe on one side to create like a funnel.
Yeah. And I do feel like even though this isn't established, this feels like a game Carter would be good at.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I love to do the combat.
Okay, so yeah,
I love the combat real good.
Right. So you make a move, right?
Yeah.
And so as this conversation goes forth, back and forth, you guys are going to each be making moves.
Okay.
And
it's like his turn, he makes a move and talks, and yeah, my basically, turn, I get to say something.
Yeah,
basically. Fun.
As I was saying, you have gotten back to work, and though I am loath to admit it, I'm impressed. You've picked up on the scent of the good doctor. Continue along that path.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, it would be a lot of help if you could maybe help string me along with a little more information than, you know, I've kind of hit a roadblock. Not used to that sort of thing. Do you catch my drift? The well of information I've been tapping's run dry. That sort of thing. Maybe you have a little more insight you could provide me, help me along with my case here. What? I'm sure that's in both our best interests.
What are you asking him?
Because my deep net search on the Illithids went, you know, I hit a wall.
Okay, so you're asking about the Illithids. Okay. When you say this, he goes, "You keep worrying yourself over the position of pawns. These are not the concerns of the spy." And then he gestures down at the game you guys are playing. And one of your pieces, a spy, it looks like a little human gentleman, like dressed very much the way Carter dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, "But of those with superior capacity." And he grabs one of his warrior pieces that looks a lot like a spider. And he does this trouncing move that takes out three of your pawns. And as your pawns fall over, you realize that each pawn was a different Illithid.
I see.
And he just leaves it at that.
Well, you know that you have to break through the pawns to get to the good bits. Obviously.
Well, you do play a good game, Park Carter.
Parter.
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 Parter. No, he said, "You do play a good game, Carter."
Much appreciated, as do you. Now, what's the... I'm trying to think of what to ask next.
Yeah, this is your moment to ask some questions. That's
yeah,
for sure.
So I do want to keep on Zahn's pace. So the name, I wonder if the bounty hunter thing is a good thing to bring up here. If they maybe I can get some cardinal advice or something like that. What were they called again?
They were the freelancers.
The freelancers. freelancers, group of bounty hunters. That ring a bell to you at all? Because it seems we've picked up a little bit of nasty attention. In our work. Or okay, I guess so. I would use... I've picked up a little bit of nasty attention in my work.
Okay, yeah. Because, yes. Okay, very, very good phrasing. He says... "I may have come across their names here and there. I try not to bother myself with petty mortal issues."
Think if I take a crack at one of these guys, I'll be able to... You know, hit him with a knockout, big
Carter,
KO.
You're a smart and capable human. I believe that.
That I am.
There's nothing that the freelancers, as they call themselves, would be able to throw at you that you can't handle.
That puts a little confidence back in me. All right, I think I'll keep about my. I think Carter's probably like sweating a little bit. He's like right. looking for the waitstaff, like wants something
to
drink.
Do you look for the waitstaff? Do you call somebody?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you say?
Waiter, water, please. Water.
So waitress actually walks out, and it's the same waitress that you were giving orders to.
Uh-huh.
Except for she's got like this blank, lifeless stare, as if she's not a real person.
Yeah.
She just walks up to the table. She doesn't say anything.
Just like kind of, that, you know, the opening scenes of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, where Johnny Depp's like... like things are getting real weird because he's like cracked out or whatever. Like Carter, I want to add that flavor to the scene where
you're
Carter
like,
kind of
shit.
Never mind. And Carter continues to just like play the game. He's going to try to like this piece that came through. He's going to try to like take it down pretty much.
Okay, I like that. Give me an intelligence roll. I just want to see how well you do with advantage. Love it. Since you're focusing and all that.
I rolled 11 twice.
Okay.
My intelligence is a +2.
Okay, so you're making competent moves, and you're competent enough to know that the moves you're making are competent, but he's one step ahead of you every time. It's really frustrating.
Yeah. If I didn't do all those mushrooms earlier.
He says,
mushrooms.
You know, I've been busy as well. Think of me as an itinerant showman. I wander the land, sharing visions spectacular and horrid, whispers of awe and prophecy. When given the right audience, I can give one hell of a show. Enough to move even the heartless stoic kings into action.
I've heard the rumors. What specifically have you been up to lately?
Well, that's my business now, isn't it?
Hey, I'm just trying to make conversation.
You ask a lot of questions, Carter.
Well, I need a lot of answers.
You know who else asked a lot of questions? Why, the good doctor. You see, the difference between intelligence and wisdom is the difference between knowing what to ask and knowing when to ask it. Well, the doctor had much of the first and none of the second. And when he discovered something that the wise would call better left alone, well, he just couldn't help himself. And now his head is full of knowledge. Terrible, unutterable knowledge.
Ah. Speaking of, I saw something. Is my bracer jack on me? Like in this
scenario,
mental arena you've placed me in?
No. I'll say no. It's, well, yes, sure, it is. Yeah.
I picked up minor illusion.
Yeah.
So maybe I can do magic here?
Sure.
Yes. I want to make an image of the door that we saw with the great old one on it.
Okay.
For him.
Yes.
I saw this recently. Would that happen to be something that you are mentioning right now, Zahn? And I make the door.
This is the beginning of the path. You should head to Manzikor. Follow the good doctor. Oh, would you look at that, he says as he looks down at the board. It seems you've let your princess slip through your defenses. That's a pity. And he gives you this like big shit-eating grin. And you're back. And you know in that moment, Prim's gone. Based off what he just said.
Oh. Do we have a second auxiliary ship?
No.
Then how would she be gone? Oh, okay. So Carter's gonna like run to her room.
Yeah, you run to her room. She's gone. There's just a tape recorder that's like automated to go off someone's voice and just says, "Leave me alone. I'm not in the mood right now."
And there's like a beach ball under the fucking pillow. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Home Alone style, it's like you open the door. Oh, fucking, what's that movie? Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Hey, you open the door and like a fucking mannequin rolls over and coughs.
Snoring.
Yeah.
Damn it.
So, Sebastian.
We have an emergency!
You find yourself alone in the halberd, descending towards the surface of Sovereign.
Okay.
And as you are descending down, a transmission comes in over the radio. Unidentified vessel, you are approaching restricted airspace. Please identify yourself.
Sebastian Crenshaw, here to meet Captain Davrax, reporting.
It's an old code, sir, but it checks out.
there's this long moment of silence, and then a voice comes on over the radio. Corporal Crenshaw, I'm under orders to deploy Legion escort. Descend to 30,000 feet, and you will be met by Legionnaire forces and escorted to the main bastion.
Roger. On my way.
So I take it you follow the directions you descend down and all that.
He's just shaking his head at me. I don't know.
So the halberd descends down to 30,000 feet, and you're quickly met by three black fighter jets bearing the sword and crown of the Iron Legion. And you hear a transmission from one of these fighter jets.
Corporal Crenshaw, this is a request that you disarm all weapons operating on your vessel and follow us.
Not a problem. Disarming right now.
Okay. So after you disable all the weapons on the halberd, one of the three jets will turn around and advance north, expecting you to follow.
Okay.
And I take it you do.
I follow, yeah.
When you do this, the other two come up behind you and they form like this triangle. What's the word I'm looking for?
Formation.
Formation. That's the word. Formation around you. And you guys head north towards the megapolis.
Sebastian just goes with it.
So the city of Domain Bastion becomes visible below you. And it is by far the largest city that you've ever seen. But it's essentially this ocean of skyscrapers and streets laid out in a perfect grid system. And it stretches out before you. Outlaw's Horizon was a major city in its own right. But this is on a different scope. This is a scope of a planetary capital.
You mean is a major city, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, did I say it wasn't?
You say was. You said was. And it made me scared.
It's still there. And you guys all know it's still there.
Sure.
We thought Prim was there, and she's gone.
We go back, and the planet rolls over when we try to go through the atmosphere, and it's fucking like a snore. I'm not in the mood right now.
Leave me alone.
Ah, damn it, not again.
So,
two for two.
There are countless private flying vessels flitting about the city like bees in a gargantuan hive. Central Command lies at the center of the city, and
she's on your ship.
Yes. Yeah.
And you see the enormous rectangular 100%. Monolithic structure as you are guided to land at an air dock a couple miles south of Central Command. Okay. You guys are hilarious.
You!
I've been planning this for weeks. I was like, this is what I told Freeland before this. I go, there's a thing that I'm going to make happen. It can be thwarted, though, but we'll see what happens.
I like the image of Will like writing it in his book.
These fools.
That's pretty close to the truth.
What I'm gonna do.
So they guide you to this air dock. The vessels land around you in the same triangular formation that they flew in. The pilots of these Legion vessels end up staying in their cockpits as a squadron of Legionnaires in heavy armor and armed with assault rifles approach.
Okay.
And they kind of surround the ship and stand in formation with their guns. And one of them yells out, Corporal Sebastian Crenshaw, exit the vessel unarmed and with your hands above your head. No sudden movements or we will open fire.
Yeah, Sebastian just does it. Yeah, he doesn't say anything. He's like, all right, I'm hands up. Like, yeah, all right.
Going through it. You know
turns around when he gets down there. He turns around. Like,
perfect.
I'm good.
Perfect. So essentially, the Legionnaires are going to come up and arrest you and handcuff you. And the one who was yelling continues to yell. He says, Corporal Crenshaw, you are under arrest by the order of Master Commandant Callan Rigos. You will be given a fair trial and the right to defend yourself in the court of law. Resistance will be considered an admission of guilt. You have been warned.
He just smirks and nods towards him like, all right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's not personal.
He's doing his thing. He's doing his thing. Yeah, exactly. Just like Sebastian doing his thing. Exactly. He knows he has to report.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Just the way it is.
So after you're handcuffed, you will start to be marched away from the halberd and off the dock, and there will come a sudden thumping sound from one of the storage compartments on the halberd. And one of the Legionnaires is like, what in Dominion is that? And everyone like points their guns.
What?
And,
wait, hold on.
Yeah. And suddenly a compartment seal pops off the hull of the halberd, and exactly one Primna spills out onto the air.
Primna, what are you doing here?
And you freeze, hands up. And she's like, oh, shit.
Primna.
Naughty, naughty mystery being.
Prim!
Bad girl.
Hold your fire, gentlemen. Hold your fire.
She just holds her hands up, and they start handcuffing her. And, they're just going to march her along with you. And she's just going to look at you and say, I'm sorry, I had to.
Prim, I told you to stay back.
And, like, right at that point, you get, like, an email being like, where's Prim? Yeah. What's going on?
All the texts start rolling in.
I'm like, dot, dot, dot. She's here.
That's hilarious. Okay, so You and Primina find yourselves detained in an officer's accommodation within Central Command. It's essentially a comfortable living space. You guys have been notified that an urgent investigative hearing is going to be held this evening with both of you, because they know who she is.
Yeah.
And since she's here, she's under arrest and under trial, too. You guys have roughly 2 hours of waiting until your hearing. So what do you guys do with that time?
Ooh.
Dust off the old hacky sack.
Prim, I told you not to come. I didn't want you to be endangered at all.
My dude, you fucked up royally.
I was going to say, have a very fatherly conversation with Prim.
She says, I know I went against everyone's wishes, but I'm done letting others pay for my own existence and my own inaction. I'm not going to let anyone else die in my place. You're like, fuck. Your logic is sound.
I was like, damn you, Primina.
That tracks.
That tracks. But Prim, you
must understand we're family now. I'm going to do everything I can to protect you. I don't want anything to happen to you.
The same goes for you.
Oh, Prim. Prim, why?
He's got to have arguments.
Damn it, Prim. I'm glad to see you. I wish you wouldn't have came here, but I'm glad to see you.
She just nods. Okay, so we'll fast forward. Yeah, we'll just hours.
Small talk here and there. Yeah. Sit in silence for a while. Yeah. Awkward silence here and there. Yeah.
That whole jazz.
The text chain is blowing up.
Yeah, the text chain is blowing the fuck up. Victoria's supremely pissed off.
You get a stream of Victoria like yelling at you in videos, like little vine snips.
Exactly.
And Carter's just in the background with his arms crossed, like a frown on his face.
It's exactly
only in like some of them though.
Yeah,
somebody's in.
Some of them he just gets bored and wanders off. Okay, so
on the wall, and one of them like just pouting, sideways. Like really mad.
That evening, there is a knock on your door, and there are three Legionnaires waiting to escort you to Central Command. I take it you guys go willingly, handcuffed, all that jazz. Mm-hmm. Okay, they handcuff you. They're gonna march you over there. they end up marching you through Central Command into this large and opulent auditorium that's being used for the hearing room. Rows of seats lined around a room that descends at an incline. We're talking about hundreds of officers, clerical workers, and other various Central Command bureaucrats all filling the seats. At the auditorium's other end, at the bottom of this incline, is a large long table with five individuals seated facing the audience. Four of which are Iron Legion generals. The center fifth figure is a human man with dark skin, clean-cut, short white beard, and he's dressed in black and gold heavy armor and appears to be in amazing shape for a man this age. We're talking about a guy who's like 65, and he just looks jacked. He's like good.
He's one of the dudes on like P90X and Sandy. He's like, I'm 65, and I'm killing it. Watch me fucking go horizontal on this post. In my heavy armor.
Yeah, that's definitely. Oh, shit. And this is Master Commandant Callan Rigos. a hushed silence falls on the murmuring crowd as you and Prim are escorted into the room. You guys are taken down to the room's base level and given seats facing the panel of Iron Legion commanders. Yes, Brian.
Where are Jake and Brian?
Oh, good.
Of question. The Iron Legion.
Yes.
Jake and Brian are totally on the top floor in the back, looking like real serious about the situation.
This would not be a...
This is not a party.
We would know we can't speak up in this time, right?
Yeah, not a party situation. You guys might have a chance to speak later.
Can we wave?
Yeah, you totally can
Will
wave.
They see?
Give me a perception roll.
17.
He sees
it's
it.
Like this. It's like real tight.
Little eye. Like,
give you a thumbs up.
Like,
that's hilarious.
I do want to see is Captain Davrax up front anywhere? Or
you
can
don't,
I see
you don't see him. Okay. You don't see him. But he did say he was going to be here.
Yeah.
Captain Davrax.
The dark eyes of Callan Rigos seem to pierce like into your soul. Oof. As he's just staring at you. And
I stand as stoic as possible. I'm trying to
not
show any fear or anything. Just trying to.
Right.
Be solid with everything.
Right. So one of the generals, a female hobgoblin, speaks up and she says, let me give her a voice. I hereby call this hearing to order. Let the record show that the case of Corporal Crenshaw and individual Primina versus the Holy Eternal Elven Empire has commenced. She hits a gavel on the table. Callan Rigo speaks up. Will the clerk of the court please read the charges being brought against the accused? An elderly woman in a high-collared suit speaks up. The accused are both charged with four counts of domestic terrorism, evasion of law enforcement, and unauthorized emigration by the authority of the Holy Elven, Holy Eternal Elven Empire. God, that's a fucking mouthful.
She didn't say that part. Who wrote that?
Who wrote this? Like, jeez.
We decided to say that a bajillion times.
Calariga says, and are the prosecuting parties present? The clerk says, the prosecuting parties are not present. Callan says, then let the record show that in absence of the prosecuting party, the sovereign authority of the Iron Legion shall bring charges against the accused in their place. So he's basically saying the elves aren't here.
But they're going, yeah.
These are supposedly the elves charged, but the elves aren't here. How do the accused plead?
Innocent.
Brim says, innocent. God, I have to
what
with
he
you.
Said.
What he yeah, said.
Exactly.
I'm with him. Callan says, very well. Will the clerk of the court please present supplied evidence of the prosecution? So three clerks end up shuffling forward, and they have a bunch of folders filled with documents in their arms. And they start handing them out to the general and to...
Give
the
them surfer voices.
Callan. No, I'm not giving them surfer voices. Each of them brings... each of the generals begin to leaf through the documents. And as the documents are being leafed through, the clerk of the court gives a summary of their contents. And essentially she says... We have been provided multiple security camera photos of the accused attacking innocent civilians and causing mass damage to both property and individuals. We have been given documentation listing altercations and attacks on Elven law enforcement, and we have been given a warrant for the arrests of these two individuals dating back 3 years.
3 years?
Mm-hmm. This is what they've been provided with by the elves.
Jesus Christ. That's whack shit.
I was going to say, they probably doctored some shit.
Yes.
Or we time traveled.
Time travel within a time travel?
Lastly, the Elven Empire has publicly stated that the immediate extradition of the accused will result in an immediate ceasefire between Elven forces and the Iron Legion, and the return of the prisoners of war lost to the Elven forces in raids on three of our Cyber Federation chapters.
That's a red flag.
That's a red flag, dog. The crowd murmurs loudly at this because, yeah, that's
fucking. They're like, hey, that's a red flag. Yo.
Yeah.
And there's a moment here where the crowd starts to get a little unruly and Callan.
Iron Legion, Brian, and Jake are like, let him free the artist. Hell
no. Free Bass. Free my homie Bass.
I will have order in this house of dominion. And the crowd goes quiet.
Order, bro. Come on.
Shit.
Can't believe you right now. Free Bass. Free Bass, though.
If that is all, will the clerk of the court please present the findings of our investigative team assigned to this case?
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
The clerk speaks up and she says, I beg your pardon, Master Commandant, but one of our officers has asked to be allowed to give testimony before our investigative findings be presented. Captain Arvin Davarax of the 601st chapter on Vianalius.
Cappy Davy.
Cappy Tappy. There is a moment of silence, and then Callan says, "Very well. The court calls on Captain Davorax to speak." Cappy Tappy. So, for those in the audience who don't remember Captain Davorax, that was the dragonborn captain who turned Sebastian here into a member of the Iron Legion.
Mm-hmm. It's like episode 3 or 4.
It was the first interlude.
Yeah.
So like episode 8.
Episode 8 or something like that. A large male dragonborn with bronze scales and a bionic left arm descends from the audience to stand next to Sebastian. The dragonborn places a hand on your shoulder and then he moves on to stand in front of the panel and he salutes the panel. Captain Davorax, you have the floor. God, I gotta give Davorax a fucking voice now.
Make him a surfer dude.
I'm not making him a surfer dude. That's Jake and Brian's job.
Okay.
Thank you, Master Commandant. I've only known Corporal Crenshaw for a short time, but in that time he has left a lasting impression as one of the most impressive and excellent disciples of Dominion. I've had the honor of witnessing him join our ranks. He possesses an innate understanding of our precepts and a drive to mastery unrivaled by all save officers I've seen spend decades honing their minds, bodies, and spirits in service to Dominion. He has upheld law and order with might and will at every adversity and been met with victory. And when tragedy struck the city of Vianalius that could have destroyed the entire city, this man stood without the assistance of the church to strike down a mighty foe and save countless lives, including over 100 Iron Legionnaires under my command. Reports from the city and our intelligence from the Draconic Star Sovereignty will corroborate this statement. I would stake my reputation. The evidence provided by the Empire is fraudulent. This man is no criminal. He is a hero.
There's another murmur from the crowd.
Word. Am I able to like make eye contact with Davorax?
He's backstage.
Okay, yeah. That's what I thought.
Because he's talking to them, but yeah. So with that, he's done. And he comes around and he sits next to you guys.
Ooh, nice.
Power move.
So as he's walking back, I just kind of make eye contact and kind of like nod and like a little smirk. Yeah. Almost like a thank you smile.
Yeah, he gives you a nod and he sits down next to you. Callan says, "Thank you, Captain Davorax. So, if that is all, will the clerk of the court please present the findings of the investigative team assigned to this case?" So more folders of documents are presented to the panel.
Okay.
The clerk says, "Our investigators found a serious lack of confirmable documentation on the claimed terrorist strikes and the past crimes of the accused. Though not entirely provable, it is the concluded opinion of the investigative team that that most of the video and photographic evidence provided has been doctored to some degree. There is also a complete lack of documentation on the identities of either accused in any database that we could access."
That tracks.
Mm-hmm. Crowd mm-hmm. begins mm-hmm. to murmur at this. They're like, "What? What? Oh,
that's
shit.
Unknown.
Hey, that shit's not right, though. I didn't know that.
We knew it, though.
Did we know that?
We knew it in our hearts.
Oh, in our hearts. Oh, yeah. Free Bass still.
Free Bass.
There, as the murmuring's going on, the generals and Callan are going through the documentation on their own, and eventually he closes his folder and the rest of them close their folders, and Callan says, "Let the questioning of the accused begin." He looks at you and Prim, but mostly you. "Who are you exactly, and why has the Empire accused you of these crimes?"
"Name is Sebastian Crenshaw. I come from a primitive world into this one."
"I'm a time traveler."
"Yeah." "Sorry." He's just "I come from a world, a primitive world into this one. Pretty much crossed paths with the elves. They didn't like me very much. Try to play by their rules, but they decided to attack. We had to defend ourselves, and yeah, that's it. I mean, that's the extent of it. I mean, other than that, there was no other run-ins with the elves other than them trying to track us down for whatever reason."
"Why is the Empire risking galactic war over your capture, then? It cannot be that simple."
"Under recent findings, it's believed that the elves are doing some sort of genetic mutations or testing bloodlines. Mm-hmm. Me being an unknown, being very special, my race is not known here. I think they feel like they could utilize myself and my good friend Primina here, the other unknown race in these general areas, to utilize us for the genetic testings. And it's also believed that they're trying to utilize our genetic material to unlock a gate to another world or other creatures to unleash into our galaxy.
He looks at Primina and he says, and what do you have to say, girl? And Primina says, what Sebastian says is true, but he doesn't have the entire truth of it. They created me, and they told me that I was destined to lead them to a treasure of unsurpassed value, something that would give the elves the power to take over, you know, the entire galaxy. And Callan says, what is this treasure or power they seek? Do you say anything?
No, they just want world domination. They want to take over everything. Look at it now. They're already enslaving races, taking out entire races. Nothing's going to stop them. They want to rule over all and not play nice with anybody. Mm-hmm. They're going to rule. If we stay on this course, there's no stopping them.
Primina says, I don't know the nature of the treasure. There's a moment of silence, and then one of the generals speaks up, and she says, what is the relationship between the elves and the Illithids? Our documentation shows that there's been communication between the two factions.
All I know is many years ago, they were working on a project together, headed by a Dr. Zahn. Things went south, and that's the last I know about it.
Do you know the whereabouts of this Dr. Zahn?
We have been searching, but I've been unable to find him.
Okay.
And I'll say, recently we went to Namaleth and Zovra, mm-hmm. looking for him, following some breadcrumbs. Nothing turned up. Could not find him.
Okay. You do know that the last place that you heard that he was going to was Manzikor, which is in the Illithid territory.
Okay, and I'll mention that too.
Did you say that?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And as I, the next spot that we planned on checking was Manzikor, where we heard he was last seen, possibly.
Why should we not simply just turn you over to the Empire?
I think you could just look at what's happened already with the Elven Empire. They overstretch their bounds. They're attacking whoever they want, doing damage to Outlaw Horizon or you name it. The fact is that they're charging us with myself and Primina with these crimes, and they have no solid proof. They're making up stuff to capture us, to like I said, unlock some sort of unknown terror above on everybody. And if they're not stopped, they're going to continue just wiping out people and enslaving people until they get what they need.
Okay. There's a moment of silence again, and finally Callan says, the accused may be allowed to issue final statements before the verdict is reached.
He's going to say,
don't do it.
So he addresses them. He's all, I feel like we need to band together whatever alliances we have, because if we don't act now, there's no saying what's going to happen if we don't stop the Elven Empire. Mm-hmm. I did not commit these crimes that they are accusing myself of, and Primina has not committed any of these crimes.
Okay.
We want to stand up against their tyrannical terror that they're causing to the galaxy. Now it's just their might must be stopped.
Okay. There's a murmur at this. Crowd's like kind of vibing, kind of mixed feelings here.
Free Bass.
vibing with Bass.
The panel looks to Primina and she says, I probably did not prepare this ahead of time. I will say that I agree with what Sebastian has to say. The Empire has already attacked the Iron Legion unwarranted, as you've said three times, and take prisoners of war. They've attacked the Draconic Star Sovereignty, or at least a neighboring province, without provocation. From personal experience, I know what the Empire is capable of, and I know that they will not rest until they have not only me, but what they truly want, which is the ultimate power, whatever that may be, whether it's real or not. They'll stop at nothing to get it. If the galaxy doesn't band together to stop the Elven Empire, then who will? And at that, the crowd's murmuring even more now. Murmur.
Murmur. fucking hate elves.
I fucking hate elves.
Those motherfuckers.
I got them worst. So at this point, the panel adjourns to decide a verdict, and you guys are kind of just left out there to hang and dry.
Okay.
And yeah, so do you, I don't know, do you talk to
Davrax? And just, I'll ask Davrax, like,
Cappy Davy.
What happened? Like, Outlaw's Horizon, like, how many Iron Legion did we lose? You know, and just, you know.
Relax, Sebastian. We only lost a few. Obviously, it was a tragedy, but we could have lost a lot more if it wasn't for you. And then he points at your arm. He's like, I see you've copied my arm.
Yeah, yeah. Other side, yeah. But I liked your style, so.
Do a sweet mechanical arm handshake.
Yeah, he totally.
Davrax, you son of a bitch.
It's an alt universe where Bucky Barnes had to go through time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he says, just make sure you don't copy my eye. And he points at his eye patch.
I'm like, ooh. Wow. I want to bring up a little conversation. I'm like, oh, so I came across some obsidian dragoon armor. Mm-hmm. Amazing stuff, man. I don't know. I'm assuming he's a dragonborn, so he's been familiar with that. Now. So he's going to kind of make small talk about seeing that armor and hearing that story. From,
He definitely wants to hear about it. Yeah, he's so definitely excited
the conversation
about that.
He had with Balazar and stuff like that.
So. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I forgot that's what his name was.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, okay. So after 30 minutes, we'll say, the generals and Callan come back. They sit before the panel and the room goes silent. And the panel hands off a piece of paper to the clerk of the court, and Callan says, will the clerk of the court please read the verdict of the accused? And the clerk opens the paper and she says, the accused, by the authority of the sovereign authority of the Iron Legion, has been found not guilty.
Hey, exonerated. Victory.
Yeah, the crowd's like,
grab criminal. I'm like,
Victory, the homie bass.
Yeah, and Davrax is like, here. Yeah, there's a lot of pounding. And Callon bangs his gavel on the table. And I will take this moment to announce here and now that the Iron Legion has declared war on the holy eternal elven empire.
We gonna smack these mugs. We gonna smack them.
Let's go kill some elves.
Your ears ain't gonna be pointy when we're done with them.
So Sebastian, I'm assuming I'm standing for this part. Yeah. He's gonna look at every person on the panel and just nod at each one, like, and have that serious look, like, you made the right decision.
They all look really grim. Everyone else is like cheering.
Yeah,
you know,
but well, they know what they're up against.
Yeah, they're grim about it.
Gonna cut off their ears.
So we're going to fast forward a bit, and I'm going to take it that you contact your friends.
Yeah, I'll
and tell
say
them what's
we good.
We good.
We good.
Come to command.
Come to command. We good.
It's all good.
So
he just sends like a
so I take it that Brunhilde is going to come to Sovereign, and you guys are going to get like hoteled up at the command central and all that. If you guys are willing
to go,
yeah, you guys are good. Yeah.
Come on to over. Come.
He hasn't been let go yet.
Lightspeed.
Like, he's not under arrest anymore, but he's been told he has to stay here.
They're processing all his fucking paperwork.
Well, they're trying to figure out what to do with him.
They're trying to figure out who's going to pay the legal fees.
So, Sebastian, you get called for a private meeting with Master Commandant Callan Rigos the following evening. So you've had some time. I don't know if there's something you guys want to do with the day of time that you guys have here at Command Central. You guys aren't really allowed to leave? I mean, you can leave without Sebastian.
Can I get the smoothie?
Yeah, totally.
I heard they had good smoothie stand.
They got an all-day 24-hour buffet with anything you want to need.
Anything I want to need?
Anything you want to need.
Anything I want to need, Dungeon Master?
Within reason.
Within reason. Thank you for saying that.
Yes.
Please put limitations on my wild brain.
Yeah.
So yeah, smoothie.
Oh, yeah, smoothie. Yeah, sure.
Can I talk to this guy?
Yeah, yeah. You guys have access to him. You just can't.
I can't
him.
Go, yeah.
Yeah.
Tell him about your dude, the dudes. Tell him about the freelancers. Tell him for me. Okay, bye. All right.
I'll say something.
That's not the Carter voice.
Sorry. Tell him. Well, he's shook. tell him about.
Damn good.
Tell him about the. This is damn good. Can you tell him about those guys, those freelancers? They're kind of tripping me up. Just tell him. Maybe they can take care of him.
I'll say something. Maybe see what we can do.
Maybe we'll get lucky and they'll kill him. I mean, I'll kill him, but like maybe they will.
Well, I'll have to inform them that there is a bounty on both of us, so they know what's going on.
I mean, they
on.
Probably know. Well, yeah, I found too. That shit like quick internet. I should have done that immediately. I should have just did a quick search. So I put the first three of your name in, and it comes up.
And how much?
You don't even have to click the link. It just shows your picture and the little money sign next to it, and how much. It's like really easy to bounty hunt, apparently.
Okay, so Percy, do you need anything? Victoria is scolding the shit out of Primna.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't be scolding her or anything like that, but I'd be like proximity wise, like there to hug her once she's done and everything.
I'll drop her a smoothie. I'll be like, what about this one? Does that taste good?
You roll a die, give me a d20.
Ooh.
What, was it going to be better than the ice cream?
Yeah, you want me to roll it?
You said give me a d20.
No, I said, roll a die, give me a d20. Roll the d20.
Roll the damn 20.
Ooh, that's a nat 20.
It's a big natty boy.
She really likes it.
She thinks it's great. What flavor is it?
A smooth flavor.
Okay, cool. It's strawberry banana. She loves it.
Come on, we're in space.
Well, then you come up with it. You're the one who came up with the smoothie scenario.
Is it like a green machine kind of shit?
Kale,
space kale.
Yeah, space kale.
There we go.
This is asteroid moss smoothie.
There we go. She loves it.
I don't know. Fuck it.
It's out of this world.
Sebastian, you are called for a meeting with Master Commander Callan Regos the following evening. I take it you go there.
Of course.
When you're there, seated, waiting for you, besides Callan Regos, is Captain Davorax and Master Commandant Callan Regos says, have a seat.
He nods and he'll take a seat.
Straight.
Deciding what to do with you has been somewhat difficult. The Draconic Star Sovereignty has asked us many times to turn custody of you over to them. We've denied them, though. We've decided to give you a different set of orders. You're going to become a bit of an investigator for us here at the Iron Legion. We want you to pursue the investigation of this Dr. Zahn, as you have been doing, and we wish for you to look into the secret plans of the Empire. We wish to know about any elven activity that you learn about. We wish to know about any illithid activity that you learn about. Any info pertaining to Project Bloodline and this Egress article that Primna has been so kind as to speed us up on, we want all that information. You're to report directly here to Captain Davorax. Once every 2 weeks, we expect a report.
It's not a problem.
An in-person report?
No, communication.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you need to come back here.
It's like, oh, shit, I'll go back.
No. It would be via communication. Do you accept this assignment?
I take pride in this assignment, and I will do this to the best of my abilities, and will report to you every 2 weeks. Is there any limitations to what we can do? He's asking like
obviously
pretty much like,
specific ones. I mean, beyond the normal code of
be on time, cross your T's, dot your I's. No, he didn't say that. He says
is he allowed to start killing fools?
Don't commit any war crimes. Obviously self-defense, do what you have to do.
No more terrorism.
Yeah, no more terrorism. Mister. God damn it. No, he says, obviously try not to commit any war crimes. If anything, I would distance yourself from the name of the Iron Legion, the assignment you're being given. This is off the record.
Here's a fake mustache. Does that tell you what you need to know?
I will not claim the Iron Legion while I'm out and about, but I will keep it close to my heart, and I will follow the rules of Dominion.
Didn't you get a tattoo of the
Dominion? It's gone now.
Yeah, that's fine. But he's just saying, don't necessarily.
My arm got cut off, man.
That's true. It's arm did get cut off. I forgot about that.
Oh, unfortunate.
A tattoo.
Oh,
but besides, tattoos are removable in this world. We've already established that. Okay, so he ends the conversation with just saying, glory to Dominion.
And then I do whatever salute is that I need.
Exactly.
As I'm walking out, I will turn around we do have an issue with bounty hunters right now. If that's something that we can get assistance in. We have a group called the Freelancers after us. It has already caused us some issues.
His eyes are like, why did you say that? He says,
That sucks, bro.
Sucks to suck.
Maybe we should turn you over to the Draconic Star Sovereign. No, he says, this is grim news indeed. We will do as much reconnaissance as we can about the freelancers and their current movements, and we'll relay any information that we have to hopefully help you.
Thank you, sir.
Be safe out there.
Thank you, sir.
Because okay. If they pop off like a war on you, they're not going to drop the bounty.
Yeah.
And like, they don't have any power to do anything about all the bounties out there and whatnot.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's wrap that up. Is there anything that Sebastian wants to do before you guys take off?
Get a smoothie, man.
All right, cool. Yeah,
get a smoothie right there.
The Astrid Moss smoothie. Yeah. I hear it's pretty good.
I definitely want to talk with Davrax a little bit more before they take off.
Yeah, sure.
Check in if there's anybody else from the Iron Legion that he's familiar with. Jake and Brian. Yeah, go find Jake and Brian.
Sebastian!
Thanks for being here, guys. Thank you.
We're here for you, man.
We knew you were innocent. Yeah. You're the best.
You guys are the best.
Your arm, dog. Your arm. You look so cool.
Badass, huh?
You look so cool.
Watch this, and he pulls his hand into his wrist like when he's about to
get him. Oh, shit.
Don't tell anybody, though.
Oh, your secret is safe with us, bro.
Yes, it is. That's so dope. We killed a bunch of elves.
Yeah, we did. We killed him in the name of the Legion.
I like it.
And you too.
Keep doing it.
I pulled down my tunic and I got like a necklace with just a bunch of ears.
I like that. I might have to steal that from you. I like that idea.
I should have got him taxidermy. This one's falling apart.
Oh no!
You can treat that. You can treat it. So, as a matter of fact,
he does it. It smells real fucking bad. Oh, yeah. It smells real bad.
You know, he might want to.
Smells like
do
victory.
Something.
No, yeah. It smells good. Yeah, it smells like I won.
It's on point, man. It's great.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
I won't give you a hug. I'll just give you a handshake, okay?
Our secret handshake is way less down. Okay, so we're going to fast forward.
Our Legion Jake is like, oh, is that what that smells like this whole time?
I couldn't think there was something caught in my armor.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Couldn't find him. Washed his shirt four times.
All right. So the Brunhilde takes off.
Oh my God.
And we'll say you guys are going to travel for a bit, and eventually, it comes to what passes for nightfall, and you all go to your respective rooms for sleep, except for Carter, because he doesn't sleep. And Persephone.
Yes?
You end up falling asleep, and then find yourself awakening, standing upon water in the middle of a vast and open sea. Above you is a clear night sky, alight with countless bright stars. This is a familiar place to you. It is the same place that you visited with Yuma during the ceremony that bonded you to the galactic spirit.
Yeah, my acid trip.
Yuma had said that this is the edge of your spiritual sphere. And she also noted that every star that you see in the sky here is another spiritual sphere, and each represents a sentient life in the galaxy. After a moment of silence and peace, you hear this ethereal and sonorous sound, almost like a song echoing across the sky. And it's so loud that it actually causes ripples in the still water that you're standing on.
Okay.
From over the horizon, the familiar sight of the galactic spirit rises. An enormous bird-like creature with wings of iridescent light, a raptor-like mask with glowing eyes, a mane of feathers of ever-changing color, and reptilian legs and a long tapering tail. The galactic spirit soars overhead before coming to land on the water. From the angle which she lands, you can see her profile, and she stands about 1,000 feet tall.
Fuck. Okay.
She slowly unfurls her massive wings and dips her body low to the water. As the wings fall to the water surface, its end rests right before you, right before your feet. Mm. And it's obvious to you that the galactic spirit wishes for you to ascend her wings and onto her back.
What the fuck? She probably was like a mouth agape this whole time because it's been a while since we've... Mm-hmm. Chilled her and I.
Yeah.
She's probably like, oh my God, I forgot how pretty you are. And then she just starts climbing the feathers.
So the climb is long.
Yeah.
But despite the incline and the field of essentially waist high iridescent feathers, the climb is surprisingly easy.
Ooh.
And after some time, you find yourself climbing onto the back of the galactic spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And you are not alone here.
Oh, what?
Hundreds of people are also here. Beings of all races and walks of life Men, women, humans, halflings, dragonborn, aliens you've never seen before, all ages. Only one factor is shared between them all that is obvious to you. They're all druids. They're all carrying various druidic focuses of staves, ooh, amulets, totems, etc. As you make your way into the crowd, you hear a familiar voice. Percy? Is that you, dear?
I'll turn around. Yuma?
Yuma stands before you. And she immediately goes in for the hug.
Oh, yes. I lift her.
Yeah, yeah, you totally can because you're huge.
Because I'm gigantic, yeah. Who are all these people, Yuma? Where?
I don't know, but I think, obviously, we're all followers of the Galactic Spirit here.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But I don't know what's going on. I've never witnessed a gathering like this in my 200 years of life.
So I can speak Druidic. That's like a...
Yeah. Yeah, everyone has
a thing.
They
yeah.
The private club.
Yeah, sure. So I'll just say hi to everybody.
Yeah, you get all kinds of different types of greeting, like real stoic, like just nods, people introducing themselves.
I'm stoked.
You meet a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, this seems uncommon.
As
I don't know.
As you're speaking to all these people, the Galactic Spirit unfurls her wings and takes off into flight. Quickly, the spiritual sphere is left behind. Just another star in the night sky. The Galactic Spirit soars upward higher and higher, countless stars passing on either side of you guys. Eventually, the stars become fewer and fewer until there are none at all. The Galactic Spirit suddenly turns and dips her neck gracefully down, revealing a magnificent sight, a swirling, sparkling galaxy of shining lights, countless amounts of life. And there is this moment of awed silence amongst all of you. And after a moment, one of the druids, a wizened old man, points out and he cries, "Look! The lights! They are diminishing!"
Oh, no.
And as he says this, Percy, you notice that slowly points of light are starting to disappear. And then faster and faster lights begin to go out as the druids begin to murmur in horror.
Yeah.
Yuma
reflect.
Leans over to you and she whispers and she says, "The war. The war must have begun."
Already? They just... That just happened.
That was just yesterday.
Yeah, what the hell?
The Galactic,
I obviously don't say that.
The Galactic Spirit lets out a sonorous cry of anguish, and then it cranes its neck upward and facing far above. "What is that?" someone cries out, pointing towards where the Galactic Spirit is gazing. I take it you look.
I'll look, yeah.
Above the galaxy, deep in the void beyond, a heaving and roiling mass of darkness bubbles. This amorphous blight is as large as the galaxy itself, and ever so slowly is descending upon the cluster of lights. The Galactic Spirit lets out another cry, this one tinged with both anger and fear. And then you awaken.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And now, tell the audience about your level up.
Oh, fuck. Can I wake up just with tears in my face?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
sure. Yeah. On my face?
Until you wake up crying. Yeah. Yeah.
Sprinkled with cosmic power! Grants you two levels of druid.
So you guys are now level 8 now.
Yeah.
Did you guys want to talk about it? Or are you guys prepared? Do you guys actually have your characters leveled up?
Yeah.
Mostly there, yeah.
Okay. So who wants to go first?
I'll go first. I mean, with Sebastian doing have the Oath of Conquest, he gains at level 7 the Aura of Conquest. So pretty much what it is, anybody within 10 feet of him in a radius, if they are frightened of him for any reason, their speed drops to 0,
oh,
and
shit.
Then they take psychic damage.
They can't move.
Yeah, they can't move. They're locked down.
They're so stuck. Scared.
Yeah.
And then they take, if they start their turn in that area, I mean, pretty much if I don't move away from them, they're going to be in that area, or
right.
If someone takes them out of there, they'll take damage at the beginning of the turn for half of my level.
Oh, shit.
At the start of the turn. So it'll be
so that's 4
level 8, so
but
it'll be
still,
level 4.
Just free
so.
Damage. Nice.
And then for my feet, and I didn't take the boost in stats. I took the feet because I keep getting knocked down. So I took the tough feet and bumped up my HP quite a bit.
Oh,
so,
nice. Do you know the number right now?
It was either 95 or 97. I forget. So.
Jeez, okay. My knees.
Nice.
Yeah, so
nice.
It's right around there, 90-something. So I can take a little bit more beating now and not die.
You probably have more spells too now, right?
Yeah, I took I know one more spell at a time, and then I can't remember how many slots I gained, but
okay.
I do have an additional spell.
Nice. So. Persephone, what do you got?
I gained fly speed for my wild shapes.
Oh, yes.
So now I can fly,
theoretically,
which is going to be dope. And then I did take the ability score increase.
Nice.
Wisdom? Bumped my Should I say what I bumped it to?
Sure.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. I bumped my wisdom to 20, so now I have a plus five.
Maxed out now.
And then I went into my intelligence because I'm going to start bumping that up because all of my like science officer stuff is based off intelligence. Cool. I like that. Just like,
you need a point for each.
Yes.
Cool. Nice.
Because I was at 19 for wisdom. Oh, so I was like, okay, I'll just bump that to 20 and then start working on my intelligence. And then I get level 4 spells now. Nice. I got 2 spell slots.
Quite powerful.
I'm super strong. Yeah, I'm going to fuck some people up. And I think that's it.
All right. Carter?
So Carter got lots of stuff. So our proficiency is still plus 3. Let's see. I now know 8 spells.
Nice. Did your spell level go up?
Yeah, I got 4th level spells now, just like this guy. So I have 2 4th level slots. Man, I don't get a 3rd one for a long time, but I did get a new invocation, so I'm taking an old one that I used to have back again because now the time has finally come to have the 4 I want, which is the push people with my Eldritch Blast, that one was.
A little bit of a tactics there.
Cool. Yes, it will complete the cycle because I took, and I also rearranged my whole spell list pretty much. I dropped some cantrip. Oh, I dropped a cantrip. I replaced it with another one, and then I took some. It's just a whole new world in here. I'm very excited to do some crazy, crazy stuff.
You've been rethinking how Carter approaches things.
Like basically the Book of Shadows reading. Like I'm like, oh, and I took Warcaster as a feat instead of my ability score increase.
Really good. Yeah.
Oh, so actually I know 9 spells because we leveled up twice. So that's all in order. I have Warcaster. That's pretty much all I got. So it's pretty much Carter plus at this point. Yeah, and then the next time we level, things will really start to like change with my mechanics. But that's pretty much it. I need to roll out my HP. Should we do that again? Like, that's pretty fun. I always do pretty good.
I think these guys already did.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. It's time.
Let's let Carter do it live.
It's pretty much what I do every time we level up. So 2 plus my con. So that's 5.
Nice. That's fair. Oh, yeah, 2 levels, I forgot.
Yeah. And a 2 again, so I get 10 HP.
Nice, where does that put you at?
67.
Okay, cool. So
still
finally
pretty good.
Still
pretty,
yeah. Finally the tank's
pulled
the tank
away a little bit.
That's hilarious. All right, well, and that's where we're going to end today's episode of Super Quest Saga. If you like what we do here, if you like this show, if you like this channel, please like, subscribe, and comment below.
You leave an iTunes review for us, because it's super awesome.
Also that as well, and we will talk to you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
So many fools to kill.
I'm not arrested.
Yeah.
Thank God.